The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is John Silver, lead recruiter of the Dark Order, and you are listening to All Things Elite.
Welcome to the 101st episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz, and I'm the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy, my good pal, my good friend, Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, my man, how you doing?
I am doing great. This has been a bit of the wrestling week, the busiest wrestling about week or 2 weeks of my life. That's why you didn't get a show last week. And unfortunately, like I usually do, I will usually send out a message saying there won't be a show. But I was so busy with I had a funeral in the family and WrestleMania week. So I went to the funeral on Friday, then went and did the WrestleMania stuff, then got home Monday in time to watch Raw and got home Monday in time to watch Raw and Tuesday in time to watch NXT. The week got away from me, so I couldn't actually send out the message. I should have, and I apologize. I won't let that happen again. But yeah, I was just probably the busiest I've been in my life.
Yeah, well, shout out to you for actually being at WrestleMania. Hopefully you didn't get too soaked, I want to say.
Dude, it was one of those, So the first night I heard it's going to rain, I was like, it's not going to rain. It's WrestleMania. We're going to make it. And it starts raining. So everybody gets in the line for the poncho. And the poncho line is like 2 hours long, right? So I'm like, can't get a poncho. Like, literally, they would have made twice as much money if they just had a guy come out with ponchos and just, you know, take money and sell them really quick. But they sold the ponchos at the shop line, the WrestleMania line. Well, that night, I really didn't get a poncho. So I just kind of got wet, and I was okay with it. It was wrestling. Cool. Next night, I come in, I get through, go straight in, buy a poncho. It does not rain during the show.
That's how it is sometimes, isn't it? That's just how it is.
Yeah, I was like, so I'm sitting there wearing the poncho. First night, my friend Josh was there. He gave me a ride home. We dropped off JG and then gave me a ride home. The next night, I had to find an Uber. It literally took me 2 hours to leave the area. Whew. So I was in the area for 2 hours after the show. It's one of those things. It's luck of the draw. I always say I'm never going to not have never not going to take a car to WrestleMania, but I got to tell you, it's really weird. Like, I got to stay at the dojo, which is Godfather Jeremy Donovan's, and then the young boy Josh Smith's a place. And the young boy actually let me have his room, which was really cool. They were really awesome and gracious for letting me spend time there. It was just an amazing time, So I decided not to rent a car because, not that far away from the arena and everything. And I don't regret it because Jeremy was nice enough to take me down to the show Saturday and Sunday, so I never had to pay an Uber going there. I had a friend, Josh, that brought me back. So I only had one night where I actually had to pay for an Uber, and it was $60 to get home.
Oh, my God.
But if you think about it, one payment of $60 to rent the car was like $100 a day. So it was just like, I only got screwed kind of, you know, I only got, you know, done once. So it worked. Next year, it's Dallas, which is, I call it home because I live in Oklahoma City, and Dallas is pretty much the closest major events are ever going to happen. So Dallas, I it's kind of my adopted home area. Anytime a big event comes to Dallas, I say, you're coming to my house. So next year it'll be in Dallas. I'll drive down. I'll be in my car. I'll pay the exorbitant amount for parking. And then, but I will be able to get out of the arena within 30 minutes. Next year's in Dallas, WrestleMania. I was at the last Dallas. It wasn't my favorite show, even though I did have some great moments. But it's always good when you can cut the travel down. It's like a 2.5-hour drive both ways.
Well, also, you're going to have an actual dome above your head, so you don't have to worry about rain delays.
Absolutely. I know it would limit where WrestleManias are, but it just seems like they all should be at places with roofs. I know it would limit. I mean, I know it would limit. I mean, Ford Field has a roof, right? Or no?
Yep, Ford Field has a roof.
You see, Ford Field has a roof. I'm like, Minnesota, there's a roof there. New Orleans. Or
SoFi.
New Orleans. SoFi. Atlanta. It's just like you can go a while without actually being outside. And it's like I'm not really anti-outside, but... Yeah, you know, and it's only rained during WrestleMania one time in history, so it's probably not something you should plan for going forward, but it was kind of annoying.
Yeah, well, it is Florida, so if you plan to have Mania in Florida and you don't prepare for rain, you're lying to yourself because you don't know what's going on. But we got a lot to talk about on this episode of All Things Elite. Obviously, this is the first AEW that ran unopposed with no NXT following its side in the same time slot. So we got a lot to talk about this episode, of course, with All Things Elite, even some stuff that happened on Impact Wrestling. But before we get into the show, I want to make sure you are downloading this fine show on Google or Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Spotify or any other podcasting platform, give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. It would mean the world to us. You can leave a rating and a review if you're so inclined. You can also leave a donation through our podcast provider, Red Circle. If you want to support us, the easiest way as well is, of course, to follow us on social media. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. At Social Suplex is the guys that make this show possible. I am at SZoomer4, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Now, of course, one of the biggest news for AEW this week was the fact that, of course, like we said, AEW ran unopposed this week. So we didn't really know what the numbers were going to be like for this episode of Dynamite. Not to mention, too, this was a Jon Moxley-less paper episode of Dynamite. So the numbers was going to be really interesting. AEW did 1.2 million this week on Dynamite.
You got to think about it. There was no Mox, no Cody, you know, exactly. Which are two of the big names, and no Omega.
Well, Omega was in a promo, but that's barely it.
No, that's what I'm saying. He didn't wrestle. He wasn't featured in a match. Three of their biggest names weren't featured in a match, and they did 1.2 million people. Like, aggressive projections were 900,000, but you know, of course Mike Tyson was on the show and people were like, you're not giving Mike Tyson enough credit. I'm like, well, Mike Tyson has been announced on the show before and it didn't do that number. I am on the idea that the biggest thing is something else we should talk about that I forgot to put on the notes is Chris Jericho was on the WWE Network.
That's very true.
Yeah, he did the interview with Stone Cold and the Smoke and Skull Sessions, and it was basically a 2-hour commercial for AEW and how much he loved working and how they were a different product and they're not trying to be competition. I imagine there's a few people that have the WWE Network. I wouldn't say a lot, but a few people that had the WWE Network that had never heard of the AEW. So I think that definitely raised AEW's Q rating. And with no NXT on, they're like, people are used to like having it on there for the last I guess it would be 18 months, something like that, 20 months. They're used to watching wrestling on Wednesday, so they're like, well, this wrestling's not on. I might as well watch this wrestling. And, you know, in the ratings and in the numbers, I've been listening to every show about it because I'm kind of obsessed. You can see it was there was more over 50 people than usual. The demo, the 18, the 49 did 0.44, which is, I think, their second or third highest rating. And it was like the third highest rating on cable, period, not just for that night. So that was a monster number. Women, the female age brackets all went up. It was a home run. It was everything AEW could have expected, and it was a good show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I remember the last time AEW hit a big number, the show wasn't. It was like, eh. And I'm like, okay, this is not really the episode I want my friends and family to see if they're turning it on. Now, this, I'm not even going to say this was the best episode ever, but if you wanted an episode to represent it, what AEW is, this was a great episode for that.
Absolutely. I want to say, too, because I saw this recently when I was looking at the ratings, like mainly because Brian Alvarez tweets them every single week. I looked at the NXT ratings, which I believe, like I said last I checked, did like a little over 800,000. My favorite tweet reply to Brian Alvarez's tweet was this one guy who's clearly an NXT mark. Nothing wrong with that. But he tweets like, killing it, and shows a gif of NXT, like an NXT tag team match that has NXT's faces on it, like the NXT logo face on it, and they're doing like big moves to to AEW Dark, and I'm like, come on, you're really gonna try to change the narrative like that? Like NXT is going up against AEW Dark, you're really gonna try to change the narrative on that? Like Jericho literally said, we wanted to drive them away kicking and screaming, and we did. And look, the ratings war isn't really that big of a deal. I don't try to focus on the Wednesday night wars, but the fact that this guy was like trying to change the narrative of like NXT kicked AEW Dark's ass, I'm like, one of you is on the USA Network, the other one is on YouTube. It is not the same thing.
This is my whole thing, and I'm hoping this. I hope this can die now. I mean,
yeah, me too. I'm done with this, honestly.
Yeah, until WWE puts another show on Wednesday that in a cable spot lined up against AEW, there's no point to compare them now. There isn't. I mean, AEW is on a night that WWE doesn't do programming. There's no reason to compare them. You know, I'm done. I mean, I might compare storytelling styles to drive home a point because WWE is the most known wrestling product out there. I have no problem saying that because, you know, I am realistic. But there is no Wednesday Night War. It's over. War is dead. AEW is going to do their thing. WWE is going to do their thing. And that's where I want to leave it.
Exactly. We can just cut it there. And we can get into our little next segment. We are not really going to do a BTE recap this week because there wasn't really a ton that we could cover. However, we do have a little Impact coverage that we want to share with y'all. Floyd, can you let us know what AEW has been doing on Impact recently?
Okay, so this big week, this week they decided to do a big announced press conference. So there was a press conference. On one side of the press conference was Kenny Omega and Don Callis, and then Tony Khan and Jerry Lynn. Jerry Lynn's kind of Tony Khan's right-hand man, apparently, on these Impact signings. On the other side, which is, of course, Rich Swann and Scott D'Amore were on the other side. And they had their interview time. And, of course, I believe the moderator at first was Josh Matthews. He was quickly pushed aside for Don Callis, who said, "Let Daddy take over." And, you know, him and Kenny Omega, and then Kenny Omega was playing the cocky champion. He was Conor McGregor. He was all the other ones. And it was treated kind of like an MMA press conference because most of the people in the audience were from MMA magazines and MMA coverage. It just came off as a big deal. And the idea from Don and Kenny's side is Rich Swann is a great professional wrestler. Rich Swann is one of the best professional wrestlers in the world. He is the best Impact has to offer, but he is not a wrestling god. So that's it. It was just like, and you know, Rich Swann's defending the flag of Impact. He's like, he's going to beat Kenny Omega. You know, he's going to have to be his best to get it done, but he can beat Kenny Omega. But if this was the Kenny Omega show, Kenny Omega came off like a real big star and a real huge dick, which is what they were trying to get to. But he like, you know, of course, wrestling is performance art, and his was the performance that stole the show. And Don Callis, it's just this. I'm at this point, and I don't know if he's hot. And again, I'm only using this other name because it's a name that people would have to reference. It's a comparison they can get. I think Don Callis is every bit as good, if not, I would never say better than Paul Heyman. He does everything for Kenny Omega, who's already a star, who's already this mega person that Paul Heyman did for Brock and now is doing for Roman. He just gives, they give gravitas to the character. This guy who could talk for themselves, who could say for themselves. They have a better talker handle it because they are too busy to think of things to say all the time. It's just, it's a level of top, it's top guy shit. You know, regular people don't get people like these. You have to be at an elite level to get these type of interviews. So, I mean, get these type of people to work with you.
Yeah. And obviously, Impact is making this match, like you said, it's a really big deal with the fact that they had the press conference for this match. But also, they fucking got Mauro Ranallo for the main event.
Yes, I left that for you because I know how excited you would be because of that.
Absolutely. Well, first off, man, I just got this week the fucking brand new commentator for Monday Night Raw, which I'm going to give him a pass because it's his first week. But the first impression I got was that the man did not do his homework. He came from NHL Network. He came from MLB Network. And the man just didn't seem like he did his homework. And look, I'm not going to give him too much shit. I give commentators in pro wrestling a hard time because I want to do that. And I'm very critical of it because I want it to be the best it possibly can be. But seeing the fact that Mauro is back calling pro wrestling again, dude, I've missed this motherfucker so much in wrestling. Like WWE, NXT, I don't care what he's calling. The fact that they got him to call Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann, dude, shows to me that they really want to make this match seem big. Because Mauro Ranallo on a random episode of SmackDown could make a normal, like, random thrown together match on SmackDown seem like an NXT TakeOver match. That's just how good of a commentator Mauro Ranallo is. It's the reason why they picked him up for Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. It's that simple. The man knows how to do his shit. The man knows how to make his voice so powerful for calling a match. So I'm all for Impact picking him up, man. As much as I wish I could see him on a weekly television show again for wrestling, I will be fine with this one match appearance on Impact. But yeah, no, shout out Mauro, man. I've missed that man in wrestling.
What WCW used to do for big matches, they would bring in Michael Buffer. And that's how
yes!
you knew it was
the same thing.
And you
same
knew
thing.
How it was a big match. Impact. You know, Mauro doesn't really like the pressure of having to be in wrestling every week. So you bring him in for the big shows. And he's one of the best. He's my favorite in the world. All respect to Excalibur and Tony and all that stuff. No one made a big match bigger than Mauro Ranallo. If you, and I'm just going to say this, and people can disagree. NXT stopped feeling special on a week-to-week basis when Mauro stopped being the commentator on a week-to-week basis.
I can agree with that. And Vic Joseph does a good job, too, and I love the fact that Wade Barrett's there. But, like, yeah, I can 100% agree to that.
Though. It felt special. Mauro made those epic NXT matches that were 40 minutes long, and you're like, good Lord, he made it not feel like 40 minutes, When Morrow's on a call.
Why do you think there's compilations of him on YouTube just doing his calls? It's just his face.
Yeah, he made it feel like not 40 minutes. And it was just like when Vic is just calling the match down the middle, which he is very good at, it feels like 40-something minutes. It's just, you know, when people like, what is the NXT missing? They're not missing stars. They're not missing faces. They're missing Morrow. He made that show feel bigger.
Yeah, I can 100% see that totally. But shout out to Impact for picking him up because I love seeing Morrow back.
Excellent move on Impact. I mean, I already thought Kenny Omega and Rich Swann was going to be 4.5 to 5. It's like 4.5 stars is my low bar for Kenny Omega and Rich Swann. And I know that's a lot of pressure because I'm not a big throw the stars out there. I'm an emotion person. So you got to make me feel to get my 5. So, but yeah, with this match, with the build, I'm like 4.5 is like low, is the low grade for me. I fully expect it. And with Morrow, generally, I feel like you can add like a quarter to a half star on his call because he's going to make every moment seem so much bigger. And when he calls that one wing angel, or if he calls Rich Swann's mini, he has a few different finishers that he uses. And you know, he hits you with that first Mamma Mia, and your soul kind of shakes because come on, nobody does Mamma Mia like Morrow. Yeah. And the fact that it's been away so long. It's like when Edge went away for like 8 years and came back and hit that first spear. That first Mamma Mia is going to be everything.
Absolutely. And last thing I'll say on the topic too. JBL, grow a pair and apologize to Mauro Ranallo for being a bullying piece of shit. You blocked me on Twitter, so I know you won't see this. But if you really want to be calling people snowflakes in your Hall of Fame speech, grow a pair and actually apologize to Mauro Ranallo for being a piece of shit to him on SmackDown. So just do that for me, since you want to call people snowflakes even though you have the longest list of people blocked on Twitter. Grow a pair. Apologize.
Yeah.
That'll be all I say on that.
Yeah, he'll never do it because he would have to admit that he's wrong somehow.
Yes. But let's really quickly move in. We are going to cover Dynamite in just a moment, but we have an announcement on a brand new giveaway. I'm going to throw this to Floyd. Floyd, what do the lovely fans of All Things Elite have a chance to win?
So our friend Jason that listens to the show every week, he is at, I believe, J-Ro Jason. I want to make sure I get this right since he blessed us at J-Ro Jason R on Twitter. He listens to us every week. He said, hey, I want to do something nice. It was that simple. There was nothing benefiting him or anything. He just said he wanted to do something nice for somebody. So he donated one of the a purchase of one of Cody's new jackets coming out. So it's going to be a Cody Rhodes and Nerds combined to put out a jacket. It's like got the Nightmare family symbol on the front. It's got an eagle and a dog on the back. It's a very epic jacket. I mean, seriously, it's like if America threw up on a jacket.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so it is not understated at all. It's like if you wear this jacket, you are with Cody Rhodes. Honestly, some people might even think you're a Trump supporter because that's how American this jacket is. I'm not even kidding, but it's an awesome jacket.
I believe it.
Awesome jacket. The pre-sales start tomorrow, and they're only going to be available for 2 weeks. So this is going to be a very quick turnaround on this contest. We're recording Sunday, April 18th. I'm going to put up the show the morning of April 19th, 2021. I like a tweet, and a comment saying, basically, I want the jacket. You can say whatever you want. You could comment boogie, boogie, boogie. But honestly, the comment is the entry. I'm going to enter based on the comment being there, even though I want the like, retweet, and stuff, and I'm going to kind of check. But the comment is how I'm going to keep track of your names. So make sure you comment on the post. It'll have a big-ass picture of the jacket, and then it'll have the link to our show notes and stuff like that. So I want you to go ahead and like, retweet it. We're pulling it next week. When we record next week, I will keep it open till Friday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern. and then we'll draw from there, and then we'll announce it, because we have to announce it, get your size, and order the shirt all at the same time. So it's going to be a very quick turnaround. I am very excited. Thank you again, Jason. I mean, he's been at all the AEW stuff with me before the pandemic. But he just heart feeling big. He feeling that moment, and he gave it away. And I was like, dude, that is awesome of you. And if we get a lot of entries, I always say this, but we never get a lot of entries. But if we get 100 likes, retweets, comments, I will also give away a jacket. There you go.
All right. So be sure to check out All Things Elite on Twitter to be paying attention for when that tweet drops, so you can enter and win that badass jacket. I'm actually currently waiting on the CM Punk jacket to ship, because I, of course, had to get that. The jackets that Pro Wrestling Tees put out, man, for these are just absolutely fucking insane, dude. They're all so dope.
Yeah, this jacket, I was just looking at it, and I was just like, I think this is the most patriotic jacket I've ever seen. It might as well say America Fuck Yeah on it. I mean, literally, the arms are red, white, and blue. The back is an eagle with Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, and, you know, in a wolf, like this, the Pharaoh logo, just almost for no reason. And then on the front, it's American Nightmare on it, and it has his logo in, you know, red, white, and blue. I mean, it is the most American jacket ever.
Yeah. But with that announcement out of the way, we can get to the episode of AEW Dynamite we will be covering this week. We had two quick little promos before we got to the opening match. Mainly, the Young Bucks talking about how Jon Moxley push them over the edge and thanking him for doing that, because they're no longer just a club of friends throwing up a hand gesture. We're a family. And now it's time we show the world a newer, better version of themselves. A version that changes their Twitter bio pretty much every single day to just stroke their egos. So,
That's the best gimmick ever.
It's so fucking funny.
Because who puts new bio? And no one. It is the most obnoxious thing. Just think if your friend changed their bio every day, and one of their tweets every day is that they updated their bio. I might block you.
Yeah, Bucks, you might be getting a block, honestly, because you're doing your job very well. We also had a quick little interview with Iron Mike Tyson, which then got interrupted by MJF, basically asking Iron Mike Tyson to be on the right side of history, because the last thing he'd want is for him to look back on this night and have regrets. He tried to hand Mike Tyson a blank check. He tore it to pieces, shoved it in his mouth, and spit it at him, because Iron Mike Tyson is a crazy motherfucker. MJF got very mad about that.
How about the comment that my dad told me you were a big deal? Oh my God, that was so good. At the very beginning, he said, my dad told me you were a big deal. Like, wow. It was just like, it was so. That's
pretty fucking funny.
That's pretty fucking funny. That's exactly what it was.
Yes. And then the match, the opening match for this episode of Dynamite, was the AEW World Tag Team Championship match between the Young Bucks and Death Triangle, Pac and Rey Fénix. My God, they tore the fucking house down with this opening match. These guys went at it, I want to say, for like well over 20 minutes, it felt like. And they just started flying around the ring. The Young Bucks were doing crazy big moves. And of course, Rey Fénix, what ended up happening to finish off the match was Rey Fénix got his mask ripped off by Nick Jackson, which, if that's not an easy way to hate somebody, that is right there. Because, oh my God, the moment he ripped that off, I got so fucking mad. And then immediately he was defenseless against those stereo super kicks because he couldn't see him. Got the pinfall on Rey Fénix, and man, that's just despicable, because that's literally exactly what they did at All Out back in 2019, when they just ripped off, I believe it was either Fénix or Penta's mask in the Escalera de la Muertes match, which they kind of set themselves up to be the heels for that one too, when they ripped off the mask, because you just don't fucking do that. You don't do that.
In Mexico, it's literally a DQ.
Yeah, it's literally a disqualification in Mexico because it's so frowned upon.
Yeah.
So when I saw them do that, like, instantaneously, I was like, bro, I was reading your book, like, 2 days ago. I'm going to set that shit on fire.
Dude, I would love it, and I don't know if they would ever do it or if it would be ever something they're interested in. If, you know, Ray or Pentagon's out there and they rip the mask and then Ray or Pentagon rolls them up anyway and just, you know, just basically says, fuck it, and rolls them up and gets the pin because they were expecting him them to stop and then they didn't. I just think that would, you know, somewhere down the line, one sure. time, do it and just be like, whatever. You know, the titles mean more to them than the mask in this one case, you know. In this particular case, I mean, I honestly can say I have been watching, you know, professional wrestling, you know, my whole life. And I am not comparing them to any other company. I am comparing them to Blanket across the world. TNA, when they were at their height, Attitude Era, the best wrestling era of WWE, when you had like the SmackDown 6 or whatever, WCW, you know, Jim Crockett Promotions. I could honestly say maybe one or two in my whole life 5-star matches on TV, just on the regular TV program, right? And it just seems like, except for the ending, I couldn't give this a 5 because of the ending. So I was like at 4.5. These are like the best tag team matches ever on TV, on your weekly programming. You, as far as quality and high level of wrestling and long matches, I feel like AEW is unmatched in history as far as what they give you on their weekly TV, as far as quality of wrestling matches.
Especially tag team, too, because I feel like the respect of tag team wrestlings and like making your teams feel special and like having legit identities for them and just respecting how you handle tag team wrestling is so much needed, just because like you'll look at other companies and like they'll build a tag team just so they can get to that, oh, shocking moment, they broke up. No. We want to make these teams feel special. We want to make these teams identifiable. We want to make sure our division has guys that can go for a very long time. And if we do end up breaking up a team, we're not just going to have plans for one guy to succeed.
Yeah. I mean, even with, I wouldn't say Ray and Penta broke up, but, you know, Penta went into a feud and started establishing himself as a singles guy. And the death triangle is still a thing. So it's just, it's different. Like I said, but as far as match quality, and I'm talking about the hoity-toity, as I like to call it, Dave Meltzer wrestling crowd that cares about the technical expertise of wrestling. This is probably some of the best week-to-week wrestling you've ever gotten. You have to think, Kenny Omega and Mox, which I believe got 5 stars from Meltzer. I might be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was either 5 stars or close to there, was on their weekly television program. So it's like, has Raw, in my mind, except for like the gauntlet matches or something with, you know, that kind of stuff, one-on-one titles for the world title, I think you didn't get these quality of matches on a week-to-week television basis. I know you've been watching less long time than me. In your time, do you remember them putting on quality matches, any other company putting on quality matches week to week like this?
I mean, well, I'll put this in my own words with this description, which is the fact that like this is the first time in a very long time where like a show has gained my viewership that I will absolutely watch every single week, no matter what the card is. Like if it's like, there's certain times where like I'll watch other shows, and if I see a card that's kind of like I think is meh, I might miss that week, because a lot of times with other wrestling shows, like it's not much of a, because there's so much wrestling out there, it's like it's not much of a commitment. But with with Dynamite, I think especially, it's just become so much more of a commitment because I have so much trust in every single week of Dynamite that I will be getting a good show, and there's a very strong chance that that week I might be getting an amazing show.
Yeah. And, you know, and they're building up to something at the beginning of May, and it's just like, yeah, it's a party night. You know, yeah, that night is a party night, but you have to think about it. You know, it's worth skipping to a point. You know, yeah,
and also to your point too, I checked the results. Yes, the Death Triangle Young Bucks match did get 5 stars from Meltzer. He said, quote, "This is one of the best matches in the history of the company and maybe the best match ever on Dynamite. Certainly top 2 or 3." He has 5 stars for it.
That's what I'm saying. It's just I don't remember weekly television matches getting 5 stars before AEW came around. And I'm not trying to be selective memory. I know our boy, the young boy, Josh, listens every week. If I'm wrong, please like hit me up in the chat so I can correct myself next week. I would definitely do that. It's just, and it just might be, you know, because I remember really loving TNA. During their hot period with Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, and AJ Styles, I remember really loving that show, you know. And so I don't remember them just putting banger after banger of matches on every week.
It's just so much more of a rare commodity for a weekly television show to be having 5-star rated matches, I think, just yeah. on their episode. Like, I like off the top of my head, I can't think of and it's not even like just like to dig at them, though. It's like I genuinely don't remember the last time an episode of Raw or an episode of SmackDown had a 5-star match. I can possibly remember NXT having one. It's just going to be I'd have to look it up more. But like I said, like this was huge for Dynamite in terms of like people who focus on star ratings and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, and that's what I was talking about. This conversation is for the max quality geeks. I am actually not one of those people. I am actually very much an emotion. I like the storylines. I like the gang warfare of wrestling more than I like the amazing matches, even though I can appreciate an amazing match. But when I see it and then they get rated and you're like, yeah, I don't remember this happening anywhere else. You know, I mean, Seth had his hot period, and like I said, I go to WWE, but I'm talking about going back 30-some-odd years, you know?
Yeah.
I don't remember this happening week to week. But
it's not, it doesn't happen too often.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move on, because I could probably talk about this for a while. Young Bucks in that first slot is pretty much a home run. It's a slam dunk. It's like when you see the Young Bucks on the card and they're not in the first match, you're almost like, why? Because
huh.
They always say hit the home run in the first match.
And they make sure they do it nearly every time. And after this, we had a quick little interview with Hangman Adam Page, the number one ranked Hangman Adam Page. Dark Order was by his side. You got Marvez trying to ask about Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, of course. He immediately dodged that question, being like, hey, John Silver, giving an update on his injury, and then he was like, all right, I gotta go. And then after that, there's an interview with the Inner Circle with Iron Mike Tyson. Jericho basically saying that after they got beat down by the Pinnacle, they wanted to change their ways, go and try to make amends to people that they may have wronged. The first person he called was Mike Tyson, saying, like, a lot has happened between us. Even mentioned how he got punched in the mouth on Monday night. And he just said, I want to apologize for everything. Tyson said, accepted, said, you need anything, let me know. Jericho asked for him to come there to have his back and have the Inner Circle's back. But he also said, I expect you as this enforcer not to play special treatment and call this down the middle. And Chris was told by Tyson, he's firm but fair. He respects you. I'm happy to call you friends, but I'm not taking any sides. There's a possibility, I mean, there. If he messes up, he's going to get knocked out again. You don't want that to happen, but he's wishing him the best of luck. So, nice little promo there.
And I'm just going to say really quick, it is nice to see continuity and attention to detail. Because a lot of times you will have a person go face, and it'll be like every bad thing they ever did was forgotten. Jericho said, no, you didn't forget our bad things. We had to reach out to people. We had to make amends. You know, probably some of them probably still think we're dicks. But, you know, it's the last time him and Jericho in the ring, they looked like they were going to fight. So you have to let your audience know why they are not fighting now.
Yeah. And it makes a whole lot of sense. I also appreciate the shout to when Tyson was on Raw and punched Jericho in the mouth. I also appreciate that. But after this was Red Velvet versus Jade Cargill in a singles match to kind of like shut down and finish off their little feud. This match didn't really go too long. Red Velvet got a little bit of offense after getting slammed into the barricade by Jade Cargill. She got a little bit of offense, but then all of a sudden, she tried to go for a moonsault off the top rope. Jade got out of the way. Cargill got her jaded finisher up and got the win over Red Velvet, continuing to just look like a million bucks. I'm hoping now that this kind of feud with Red Velvet is, I would think, next, because I think there's not really much else you need to do with this. I'm hoping that we get to see Jade in feuds with other people, and mainly just so she can run her mouth. Like, I think the more time she has a microphone in her hands, the more that she's going to get people to notice.
Jade is a star. This match was everything it needed to be. She needed to win definitively. People get impatient, and everybody's like, put the title on Jade now. I am begging, like on this show, where I ask for your patience with the women's division, I'm asking for your patience with Jade. If they take the right time and put the right care in her, she can elevate the women's division to that next level. I mean, Britt and Thunder are holding it down, and they are drawing. But I think Jade could be like a star, like front of the marquee, right there with Hangman and Darby. Star, supernova in this company. I think she can. I think she can be one of those people that can put this into movies. She's just looks exceptional. She looks like a star, and she moves like a star. She talks like a star. You just have to let her develop the small things, those minor details in her game, which comes with just experience. So, yes, it's nice to want her to be the champion right now, but she's green as hell. let her get her seasoning down, because when it's time, oh my God, she's gonna blow up. I mean, she has everything going for her, but what happens is there's this weird middle ground. You either Braun Strowman it and you take too long. Yeah. Or you Goldberg it and you push it too fast. Now, Goldberg was a supernova, don't get me wrong, but once they got him to the title, they didn't know what to do, you know? So, with her, you just wanted to be patient and just let her do her thing and let her earn her spot.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you there. We then had a quick little promo with Dr. Britt Baker, continuing to take her shots at the ranking systems, being like, Red Velvet just lost. She's ranked, I'm ranked number 3 at 7-1. And Red Velvet was at number 2. So I should be now going higher than Red Velvet. Just taking a little jab at that. There wasn't really too much else to this promo.
I mean, that's it was straight college football thing. It's like, hey, the team in front of me lost. I should move up, right?
It is exactly that. It is exactly that. We then had the in-ring debut of Anthony Ogogo, Olympic gold medalist, as he faced off against debuting Cole Carter. And the fact that his finish is just a strong shot to the gut, strong right hand, and then just shuts him down, and then the referee just calls the match right there for stoppage. Honestly, really intrigued by that. Really intrigued.
Oh, my God. I have to comment on the discourse online. This dude's a six...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
What, 6'2", 6'3", 230-pound fighter? He would be a legit heavyweight in boxing, and he punched a guy unprotected in the gut. That's not a boxer. You're going down for longer than 3 seconds. And the fact that the referee's like, okay, let's stop this because you just literally crushed this man's insides.
His ribs are fucked.
Yeah, that's what would happen. I mean, I know you've been trained with wrestling that people can take 45 punches in a match and still keep going. But they weren't fighting Olympic boxers. They weren't fighting, literally, if his eye hadn't hurt, I mean, the promotion machine was going to be behind him. He was going to be a professional boxer. So, yeah. So when that guy punches you in the gut, it hurts a lot.
It really does.
There's boxer punches, and then there's regular people punches. And like a person that's not a knockout boxer would knock you out because they're on a different level of punching power. So I just want everyone to know that's it's about as legit as you can get. I mean, he has the pedigree that goes behind that punch. It'd be different, you know, like when Big Show started doing the knockout punch. You're like, yeah. You're like, okay, he has a big hand. Whatever. I mean, honestly, yeah, he could probably knock you out, but why wasn't he knocking people out for years? Anthony Ogogo's a boxer. That's his discipline. What kind of discipline is he going to use when he first gets in a wrestling ring? He's going to use his boxing skills. It just makes sense. And then some wrestler one day is going to get good enough to either take his punches or get out of the way or whatever. And then they'll have a match. But this guy that you probably won't remember his name tomorrow was not good enough to do that.
Yes. Which, by the way, since we're on the topic of the new of the factory led by QT Marshall, did you want to comment on anything with AEW's first house show?
Oh, yeah, the house always wins. I've seen shots from it, different screenshots. They brought in a wrestler from Japan from DDT. I cannot pronounce his name. Because I generally put my American pronunciation on it, but when Kenny said his name on Elevation, it sounded nothing like I would say it. So I'm not going to butcher it because I respect him. But they brought in the guy from DDT, and that's what his name is going to be until next week when I get his pronunciation down. And apparently he looked really good. Cody did a Cody cutter through a table on Aaron Solo to get the first win in the factory versus the Nightmare Factory thing, the Civil War. QT, yeah, but yeah, that show seemed to be pretty good. I mean, I kind of want to honor the fact that it was just supposed to be there. You know, it's not going to be available on TV. I kind of want to honor that. So I tip my hat to it. I wish I could have been there, but, you know, life happens. I do want to give a shout out to QT this week with the bowling shirt, rocking his Charlie Harper. I don't know how many of y'all watch Two and a Half Men, but but it was one of my favorite shows, and he was straight out of the Charlie Harper's closet with his gear.
Swag. That's awesome. We then had the singles match between Dax Harwood of FTR versus the Demo God Chris Jericho with special ringside enforcer Iron Mike Tyson. So this basically broke down and just had the pinnacle because they were banned at ringside at one point. And the match would just go down after Jericho hit the code breaker, and MJF and the Pinnacle then just stormed down. By the time they got down, Iron Mike Tyson tried to break it up, and then Inner Circle came out and broke and started going crazy on the outside. Tyson saw that Cash Wheeler took Jericho's bat, tried to give it to Dax. Tyson wasn't having that, and he just went and smacked him right across the face. And it was a good shot, too, and he sold it like a motherfucker, too. Eventually, Jericho hit the Judas effect on Harwood, got the win. First win in terms of Inner Circle versus Pinnacle. It's just going to build even more so when they end up doing the Blood and Guts match. This is a really strong singles match, honestly. And it's a bit of a change of pace with seeing Jericho as a babyface. Although seeing the whole Inner Circle united yet again is great, especially after it was seeming like Sammy Guevara was going to break off from the Inner Circle to do his own thing. But yeah, man, Mike Tyson's appearance was really great. I love the feud between the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle. I think it's going to just keep building until that Blood and Guts match. But this was a strong match.
A very strong match. First, I want to say this tells you what they think of Darby Allin. Because
exactly,
this six months ago, Chris Jericho against any member of the Inner Circle with Mike member of the Pinnacle with Mike Tyson as the enforcer is the main event of the show. Period. It didn't go main event. It went middle of the show with Darby Allin and Matt Hardy going on last. They truly feel like they could hold the audience. Darby Allin's a draw. So, you know, they've made someone, right? So, but this match, you know, my boy, Dax the X, getting in there with Chris Jericho. It's kind of cool that he's gotten singles competition because people can see how good Dax and Cash are individually. I want Cash to get a couple of them because I do really want people to see how good they are individually, because I know it's kind of a running joke, but you want to talk about the thing that irks my soul is when people call them FTR bald and FTR hair. I know they are a team. I know they talk about being a tag team. They are a team. But they have names. They have individual names. You know, Demolition was Demolition, and they painted their faces the same. But one was Axe and one was Smash. You know what I mean? You know, the Brainbusters, who a lot of people say they remind of. One was Tully Blanchard, one was Arn Anderson. You know, everybody gets their respect, but FTR doesn't even get the respect of people knowing their names, and that irks me. And like I said, I know it's a bigger deal to me than it is to any other person on the earth, but I hate it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you're the official spokesperson for FTR at this point, so I can understand why you'd be irked.
Yeah, it's just like, it's not hard. I mean, they're very close to their WWE names. You know, instead of Dash, it's Cash. You know, instead of Scott Dawson was Dax, you know, Harwood. That was a bit of a change. But still, Dax Harwood is such a porn star name that I don't understand how you would forget it. I'm like, seriously, I just want to go back to when I was young and my porn collection. I'm pretty sure there was an actor named Dax Harwood. I know it. It had to be.
Yes.
It's just too much of a porn name. Hardwood? Come on. No, but
if it's not, then it needs to be.
Yeah, but they did an excellent job working in this match. I just love the snap that he has on everything he has. I mean, he does the most basic moves, but he puts that little snap into it. That's great. And then Jericho's fucking Jericho. It's like, I mean, you've run out of adjectives for Jericho. It's just, he's Jericho. That's all you can say. Jericho has become a new adjective. You could say some people are Jericho-esque and some people aren't. It is an adjective for just greatness So it was a great match. Love the Tyson punch. You know, he did sell it like a champ. Mike Tyson throws a good working punch because I thought it was a forearm, but no, his hand hit his face. So I was like, huh, good working punch, because you know, if Mike Tyson actually hit him with all his force in his face, yeah, teeth would have been gone. Just that simple. And so great working punch from Mike Tyson. This whole segment was an A, and I loved it.
Yeah, we then had a short little package of Thunder Rosa talking how she wanted to take both the AEW Women's Championship and reclaim her NWA Women's Championship. So she sent shots to Serena Deeb and to Hikaru Shida, basically, saying she wants to take over the world, which I thought was a nice little small package.
And I really like that because it's kind of like a collision course to her and Britt again. Because, you know, Britt's claiming, you know what, I never lost the match with Thunder Rosa. You know, only thing she lost is the match in the Eliminator. So she's going up the bracket one way. Thunder Rosa's like, I got this big win against Britt Baker, but I'm going to go ahead, and she's in the top five, but she's going to go ahead and go after Serena Deeb in the NWA title, and then she's going to use that title to get a title shot at the AEW title. So they're both going different ways to the same path, which obviously is going to collide at some point.
Yeah, I can definitely see that coming to a head at one point. And then we had the return back into the ring of Chris Statlander facing off against Amber Nova, and Chris was flanked by Best Friends and Orange Cassidy, which honestly, if I'm being honest, I like seeing her with them because the little interaction that OC and Chris had on AEW Being the Elite were always fun to me. I've missed Chris Statlander, honestly. I was really happy to see her back. I felt like she was finally picking up a head of steam, but by the time she got injured, and it just was just wrong timing of like just the worst timing really for her. So I'm glad that she's back. This was a nice little quick match for her to get a win to really start building herself up. But it's nice to see another refreshing face back in the women's division, especially just since for the longest time they were struggling with talent. But now we got a returning Chris, who I think will be a great just overall great addition. Not even addition, just like a factor of the women's division.
Okay, I don't know if you heard this because you really pay attention to commentary. Hey, how did you like that JR struggle for a minute and a half to say Chris Statlander had lost weight and looked like she was in better shape?
Yeah, oh no, he was trying to dodge all.
Oh my God. Yes, it was so uncomfortable though.
I know, what he could have just said is that like rehab, obviously she's done great with rehab and she looks like a beast right now.
He could have said that. Man, she looks like she's in it looks like the rehab has caused her to get in better shape. It looks like maybe she's changed the way she eats. You could say a whole bunch of different stuff without actually talking about alluding to her physical size without saying it. It's just funny because he's used to just saying it. He's been just saying it for like 60 years of his life. It's like now I can't, you know, he's at this
now
point.
Now he has to tiptoe his way.
He has to think. It's not something you think about because, you know, me on my show, I'm going to say, hey, she put in the work. She lost weight. She looks like $1 million. I can say that, you know, and, you know, I'm probably not going to get canceled. But, you know, if Jim Ross would have said, yeah, she looks less fat or something like that. Oh my God, people would have went off the rails. So I understand.
I'm sure people would have been mad if he went like full off on that. But again, I feel like it's like if anyone like, because like I said, cancel culture itself is just not even going down that road. It's just like, you know, just an idea, but really more so.
But the big thing is what JR showed to me that was important is he showed a willingness to try.
Yes,
he was,
exactly. No,
he was trying to think before he spoke. He was trying to put thought into the words that he said. And it's just like, no, he's not going to get it every time. Next time, it'll be a lot easier for him. He'll know exactly what to say. But the fact that he did his best to try to think before he speaks should be commended.
Exactly. And honestly, at the end of the day, like, I can never see anyone trying to, cancel JR, and if they did try to it'd be absurd.
He's actually uncancelable because they've tried to cancel him several times, and he's like, he'll just say, "Hey, wrestling's a show. Chill out," and then that'll be it.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen, really. But we then, we had a quick interview with Team Taz that would lead into the next segment. Basically, Taz was saying how Christian Cage hasn't responded to him at all. Ricky Starks was mad that they had to wait for a reply and they just wanted to do something. Taz told Ricky to chill out. They're going to lock Christian Cage down tonight. But he told Starks and Brian Cage, y'all are too fired up. You got to stay back for tonight. And they were both upset, but this would lead into the next segment, which was Tony Schiavone interviewing Christian Cage, basically talking about how he's still going to outwork everyone. But then Taz is like, bro, couldn't even give me a call? I just need an answer. Are you in or are you out of Team Taz? And Christian Cage just goes, look, man, right now your team is a dumpster fire. I didn't come to AEW to help fix your little marital problems happening. I came to win titles, so my answer is no. And Taz is like, you just fucked up. And then Powerhouse Hobbs all of a sudden walks down to get up to Christian Cage. Cage then tried to hit the kill switch, but then Hook got a distraction. And then Cage got beat up by Will Hobbs. And the shot of just Powerhouse Hobbs just staring over top of Christian, I thought was a really great shot. Just amplified that this man is a beast.
Biggest thing from this that I noticed is Taz is like, hey, I want you to join my group. Dude, I didn't like you anyway. Just a very, trigger switch of an attitude change. He went from, hey, join our group, help me fix it, to fuck you for not joining my group. It was really hilarious and really like, I in my shoot job, I work with people from that area, and that was very accurate to my experience. They'll be your best friend, and then they'll snap.
Yeah, I can absolutely see that. But we then had the main event, the TNT Championship, held in a Falls Count Anywhere match between champion Darby Allin and Big Money Matt. Darby, like, listen, man, like, I keep saying it every week. I mean, like, I genuinely mean this, dude. Darby's my favorite person on the roster. He really is. This man got fucking beat up in this match. Like, I think at one point he got a chair just thrown into his chest. And then, like, he just, like garbage can got hit on Darby Allin by Butcher. Like, they just beat each other up. We, of course, had the hit that group, Money Matt's group, get beat up by Dark Order, and Sting came out as well. Ended up trying to give Darby the bat. It ended up getting kicked away from him. But these two, man, beat the hell out of each other. The coffin drop onto the table off of the lighting rig was crazy dope. Darby has established himself as one of the key guys in AEW, and I think guys like him and Brody Lee, Brody Lee and Cody, like, made that TNT Championship so important, because, like, and that title has, to me, just as much as importance as the world title, and they've done so well of keeping their titles balanced. I'm sure people would argue with the women's title, but I think it's just because people don't really have much to say about Hikaru Shida. But I think things are going to change with that title. I think the next change with that title will really amplify it too, because Shida's had it for a very long time. But other than that, man, like, even if you want to argue that, their other titles, man, are just so well balanced. They all feel mega important, and I'm just so over the moon happy of how Darby Allin has gotten himself to be just this mega star in AEW, because when he first had his match with Cody at Fyter Fest, right there, I was like, this dude's going to be one of the biggest stars in AEW. It's like, this guy moves in a way that you don't see. He, like, puts himself through so much punishment in his bumps and, like, the spots that he does. And like I said, he took Cody to the limit. So I'm so glad for Darby Allin. And Matt Hardy, too, dude. Like, even up until this point, with how long he's been in wrestling, dude, still putting on incredible matches at this point in his career.
Absolutely. I completely agree. What they've done with Darby is amazing. Matt Hardy, I mean, he's always going to, you know, come to work in a plunder match, and in essence, this is what that was. And they did a good job of mixing all of the stories along with this. You know, the Dark Order were in the main event. Matt Hardy's group was in the main event. Sting was there. Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page were featured in the main event. Lance Archer was featured in the main event, which it looks like it's going to go kind of to Archer and Darby Allin working together. It seems like that's where they're heading. They might fight first, but it looks like they might be looking at those two working together. It just seems like there's so many threads that pulled in this one match, and it was all led by Darby being the guy. And it's just, Guard Darby, when you talked about him and you're talking about the top draws in the company, he was always in that second tier. I think it's time to officially debump him up to the first tier. I think he's on that level with the Moxes and the Chris Jerichos and the Kenny Omegas. As far as if you look at the ratings numbers, when he's on screen, people are watching. You know, they don't leave when Darby's on screen. So you have to take that into account. I was never that big of a Darby fan, but, you know, he's growing on me. You know, effort is big with me. You know, showmanship is big with me. And that dude, effort is 100 every time. Showmanship's 100 every time. It's just, you get Darby. When you get Darby, you get him at 100%. It doesn't matter who he's wrestling. So a shout out to him. Darby's coming to your state and you got to miss it. He's coming to visit you, sir, and you got to miss it. That sucks. But yeah, shout out to I'm very happy with Darby. Shout out to how he has progressed and to all the fans out there that may be listening to the show for the first time or whatever. Man, thank you for tuning in to AEW every week and showing general interest in the product.
Absolutely, man. Like, just seeing the numbers AEW Dynamite did this week, seeing how strong the opening and closing and a majority of the rest of the card for the show was, dude. Like, I will say genuinely, like, I have not had this much fun watching wrestling, I think, since AEW got underway. I've just had so much fun just watching this new company make moves. And not every single one of them are winners. Of course not. That's just not going to be the case. But at the same time, though, it's always intriguing. I'm always interested to see these new faces that I may not have seen before. And I'm just so intrigued in the way they present themselves, in the way they interact with fans. It's like, I have so much fun watching Dynamite every single week. Whereas, like, for a while in wrestling, like I said, like, there was points where I decided I might stop watching. But I always kept coming back for something. And with a while ago, it was NXT. A while ago, it was the advent of the network, so I could watch a bunch of old-school wrestling. A while ago, it was because I got to discover outside wrestling that wasn't WWE, like Ring of Honor, New Japan, PWG, all these kind of companies. And then this one was all out in AEW, man. I mean, all in AEW, man. They just, like, reinvigorated my love back to when I first started watching again.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. I work Wednesday nights, and I wish I had them off. I mean, it's just like, yeah, I really do, just because, like, this week I just got to take it in for the first time in a long time without having to watch it again, and it was just such an exciting show, and it's like, I forgot I was at work quite a bit because it was such an exciting show, and I was like, I'm so excited to talk about AEW Dynamite this week. I had to skip a week, but then they come back, and this is the show I get to talk about. And the 1.2 million viewers, this was everything. This was great.
Yeah, and that was this episode of AEW Dynamite, though. We're going to get into the preview for next week's Dynamite real quick, and then we have one last thing we want to talk about. But looking at next week's Dynamite, we're going to get another TNT Championship defense from Darby Allin as he defends the title against Jungle Boy, who has already proven himself to be one of the hottest upstarts in AEW. I think that match will be incredibly strong. We're going to get a sit-down interview with The Pinnacle. we're going to have Christian Cage get his match against Powerhouse Hobbs after the attack that happened this week. And then Hikaru Shida will be taking on Tay Conti, who has been consistently moving up the ranks with the women's divisions and proving herself crazy. And
I didn't put it on here. It's for the AEW women's title.
It is for the women's title, too, yes.
Yeah, Tay Conti is the number one contender against Hikaru Shida. I'm looking forward to that match. They've been tagging up recently. And guess what? Shocker. They tagged up one matches without beating up each other.
It's crazy.
And without any kind of miscommunications or they acted like professionals when wrestling, and now they're going to have a match with each other.
Yeah, man, wins and losses matter, right?
Dude, it's just so crazy to me because I've been taught one way. If you're about to wrestle each other and then you're tagged together, you're going to have miscommunication and you got to end up fighting each other.
Unless your name is John Cena and Randy Orton, you get booked on Raw to face the entire Raw roster in a handicap match.
Yes.
In which case, you'll just do well no matter what.
Yes, but it's just it was crazy how different this is. And if you're used to it a certain way, this could come off as like this. That's not right. Shouldn't they be building up anger? Why do you really need to build up anger when the world title's on the line? Exactly. What's more of a motivation than the title?
Yeah.
It's good to have different motivations at times. Like if Britt and Thunder ever wrestle each other with the titles on the line or whatever, okay, yeah, you're going to have that I hate you plus I want your title. But regular title defense, the title is what's important.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Looking at everything else on the show, though, like I said, you got a lot to look forward to.
Darby's going to be in that main event. I think Christian and Cage and Powerhouse Hobbs starts off the show, but Darby's going to be in that main event because he is a proven draw in the main event. The Pinnacle sit-down interview, I am really looking forward to what MJF shredding everybody again. He's just exactly. So good at it. And then you'll have Tony there to kind of guide it and get everybody talking. And I love that Wardlow really doesn't talk. He just knees people in the face and, you know, war comes.
Exactly. You really don't need that man to talk. But the last thing we're going to talk about today on this episode of All Things Elite before we close out the show is honestly related to the biggest news of the weekend for pro wrestling in general, which is relating to the recent releases that took place on the 15th of April, where WWE released 10 wrestlers on Thursday. Those wrestlers included Wesley Blake, Mojo Rawley, Bo Dallas, Kalisto, Tucker, Chelsea Green, Mickie James, Billy Kane, Peyton Royce, The Iconics, and Samoa Joe. So, obviously, we want to say straight up, like just first off, we hope that everybody in this group of releases ends up finding work as soon as possible because, of course, WWE did this last year, like right at the start of the pandemic, and it was awful, especially for people like Drake Maverick, who went on Twitter and just was bawling his eyes out over the news. And like a lot of those people, like other companies weren't putting on shows at that time, so it was going to be really hard for them to even have a chance to find work at that time. So it's a little different now because companies are putting on shows. They have their 90-day clauses again, of course, because it's bullshit. But we're hoping that everybody in this list does find work as soon as possible because there's so much talent in these names and we truly don't want to see any of them go to waste. The tie-in I think we're going to do with this just real quick is we're just going to do a little fantasy booking. We don't want to make light of the situation too much, obviously, because these are like these people don't have jobs right now. But we want to just look at these names and see the names that we think would be fitting to come to AEW because I think now, at least in terms of places that you might be interested in going, AEW is the most intriguing, I think, for a lot of people just because of how they've proven themselves over these last couple years.
Okay. When I look at the list on the men's side, so advice to Mojo Rawley, find Dustin Rhodes or Matt Sydal or someone, come up with a new character. Come up with a new moveset, you know, come up with this whole new thing, then debut at one of the companies and then work your way up and try to establish yourself. That's what I would do. I would try to move Mojo Rawley as far, that name, and everything associated with it as far in the past as possible. And if you think you can work in this business, prove it. But if you go on Impact and you're some weird variation of Mojo Rawley and you're basically playing the same character, just know that character had limits. Like from the beginning, when they named him Mojo Rawley and he came out, and I don't get hype, I stayed hype. I was like, this dude's a mid-carder at best. So you need to present yourself like you want yourself to be presented going forward. So like I said, go find Dustin or go up to one of the wrestling schools and just build you a new gimmick and go with that. Kalisto, you're built for Impact ROH. Shout out to that. Samoa Joe, AEW should throw as much money as he wants against them. I think for them, based on their fan base, he's an Impact player. He's a big-time player. He's a top guy immediately. If I was Samoa Joe, what I want him to go around for a year giving him me pretty much every fantasy match I have. I'm talking about Okada, Ishii, Tanahashi, matches that probably happened in some form or another at some point that I didn't know about, but I want to see him now. Go to ROH and fight for the world title. Go on Impact, go on Impact, and then eventually, in about a year or so, show up in AEW and pretty much have your last run with that company. That's my fantasy booking for him. Who else was on the guys?
You had Tucker and Bo Dallas and Wesley Blake.
Tucker, I'm going to just say, you're going to have to tighten up. You're going to have to change your physique. Your physique reached Jag to me. That's just my whole point. Bo Dallas, I don't think, wants to be in the wrestling business anymore. I think his whole thing is that he's going to work in real estate and live on his farm. But I would love to see him at spring break playing his Bo Dallas character and doing the WrestleMania weekends every weekend. I just think there's a place for it because there's a lot more irony wrestling now, and I think he fits right in with that world. And I'm missing, who was the last guy?
Wesley Blake.
Steve Cutler's released too. So literally Wesley Blake and Steve Cutler can show up in Impact. If you're catching it, the only real person that I think has a future with AEW right now, I'm not talking about in their current form, is Samoa Joe. Everybody else, I think there's plenty of places for them to work. Impact's tag team division is weak at best. So Wesley Blake and Steve Cutler, definitely already established tag team and tag team name, they could go there. Tucker, yeah, he kind of got screwed with the whole Otis thing. Like I said, he has to change his physique or go under a mask and a bodysuit. He has to do something to change because the guy that I see smells Jag. Even when he was in Heavy Machinery, I was like, good Lord, I wouldn't remember him if I, walked down the street and saw him in the store. I just wouldn't remember him. So that's just my personal opinion on Toker. Other people might see him as a star. I don't. Women's side, Mickie James, literally, you could put her in there. She fits anywhere. She still works really well. If you want to, whoever the next champion after Sheeta is, if you want them to get a big name scalp, you have Mickie James comes in for 4 to 6 weeks, beat some people in Dark and Elevation, moved up the rankings real quick. Just, basically to lose and make that other person look good. She could be the NWA's traveling champion. Her husband's already the NWA, the men's champion. Mickie James is the women's champion. It seems like a perfect fit for her. But yeah, she fits wherever she wants. ROH has been looking at their women's division. She fits there. She's a TNA Hall of Famer. She fits there. Mickie James is kind of like the Samoa Joe of the women. She literally fits everywhere. I know she's a little older, but again, Samoa Joe's older than her, and everybody's talking about him signing, so I don't know what the double standard is. She hasn't gotten slower. Every time I've seen her work, she's looked like Mickey, so and she has a definite passion for the business. The Iconics, no to Billy Kay, yes to Cassie. Peyton Royce, which is going by Cassie Lee now. Only reason I say that is because all I've heard over the last 6 months is how amazing she is. Like, she's every bit as good as Sasha. She just hasn't been given a chance. There is a spot. There is a company that has been giving women chances to show what they have for a long time. Cassie, if you're not afraid to work dark in a dark elevation, you could show people what you got. You could show people just how good you are. Billy Kay, very good comedic character. I might be the minority on this, but because her comedic chops, I think she fits everywhere. I wouldn't necessarily have her wrestling every week, but she is a great sidekick. She'd be a very funny authority figure if you wanted to do something like that. I definitely, the day that her 90 days up, I would have her on Dark Elevation giving her resume to Tony Khan. That would be hilarious.
And then the last one is Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green, she's a star. I don't know why WWE released her.
Didn't do anything with her,
It baffles me. And I know this is not supposed to be. She's hot as hell, you know. I mean, if anything, you could have used her as a valet. Because she's really, really attractive. She's in shape. She can work. She's led the top division of the company. I swear she would already been with AEW because she was at All In. She literally was signed to WWE when she worked All In, and then, you know, but hadn't, you know, debuted, or her contract hadn't kicked in yet. But yeah, she was going to WWE, so obviously AEW would have wanted her. I think she definitely has a role in the company. I honestly think this is like the biggest swing and miss of them all, because I think Samoa Joe was booked well. Was he world champion? No. I don't necessarily think you have to be world champion to be booked well. So that's where I'm going to argue. Mickie James, 6-time WWE champion. They got what they got out of her. Chelsea Green, complete swing and miss. Dumb. It's like if you had like a young Bryce Harper and you traded him. I mean, she has star written all over. I'm not saying she's like a, you know, like 5-star wrestler, but dude, she does everything well. So I just don't get that. She has a spot on the AEW roster easily. Impact probably makes more sense because Ryder is there, or Cardona's there. But does it really matter in this day and age, really? They were working at different companies then, so they now. So it's just like there's a lot of spots on Dark and Dark Elevation, and there is a definite, you know, as the women build up, there could be room for a women's tag team title, maybe the Iconics. But as much as they're best friends, Peyton and Billy, if I was Peyton and I wanted to be taken seriously as a singles wrestler and want to be looked at the best women's wrestlers in the world, I would separate myself from Billy as far as I can.
And I can understand that. I think just the only issue that I have is just the fact that they do work so well with each other. I could definitely see Billy Kay as like wherever Peyton goes, she's hyping her up. I could see that if that's the case. But again, like, I feel like they bounce off each other so well that I think at most companies, I think will view them as a package deal just because of how well they work together. I don't think that means they can't work in singles competition and do such things like that. Like it's like what you said. But I don't know. I feel like at this point, I think they will be viewed as that.
Oh, no, they're amazing. They're amazing together. I love the Iconics. I love their character work. I love all of that. But from what I understand, like from the interviews and stuff, it seems like she wants to be taken seriously as one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. She will not do that as long as she's attached to Billy Kay. When they're in the group together, people are going to think, ha ha, that's a comedy act.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, definitely. Yeah. But all in all, the main point we should definitely make too, because this is just us fantasy deciding on where these guys and girls will go. At the end of the day, these releases suck, and it sucks to see these people that are clearly very talented get misused, get hired just for the sake of not going anywhere else, and then just sitting around and catering and stuff like that. It's not great. I hope y'all made as much money as you possibly could from that billion-dollar corporation. Samoa Joe said it himself when CM Punk tweeted at him. It's like, they fucked up when they decided to pay me. So they know, like, hopefully y'all made as much money as you possibly could from them. Now, wherever you guys want to go with your careers, whether you're done with wrestling, whether you want to be a star, whether you want to be a champion, you have many options now. AEW is just a possible one that you guys can go to. Thankfully, other companies are putting on shows at this point in time in the pandemic, so you're going to have a little bit more of an easy time than people last year did finding work. But we hope you find work as quickly as possible. And yeah, these releases were just a fucking kick in the gut.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, they get paid the 3 months. They're in a more advantageous situation because at the end of the 3 months, more than likely, everybody that wants the vaccine will have it. So we'll probably be getting back to, I'm already seeing more wrestling shows popping up. And I'm seeing some that are not socially distancing at all. So it all looks like the world's already opening back up. So in July 15th, I think that's the day. I think they'll have a chance to work. Now, if they're smart, I don't know what promoter will put it on, whether it be GCW or and they just do a super show of the recently released wrestlers. you know, they have all the WWE people on there and the ones from last year and, you know, have signings and all that stuff so they can introduce what their new characters are or whatever they're going to do. I think it would draw and I think it would be really smart.
Yeah.
Wherever SummerSlam weekend it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But regardless, yeah, it's a weird way to end the show, but this news was so massive that we couldn't not mention it on this show. But that'll wrap it up, I think, for this episode of All Things Elite. Of course, remember about the jacket competition and the giveaway for Cody's new jacket. So, Floyd, again, remind people how you enter into this contest.
All right. So, in the morning, April 19th. The post will go up. It'll have a picture of the jacket in there. All you would have to do is like, retweet, and then comment. The comment can pretty say I want the jacket or whatever, but the comment is your entry. That is how I know you're entered. That is how very easily the comments are an easier way for me to keep track of each name. It is, you know, when you click on like and try to get all the names, sometimes they might not give them all to you. The comments, I can go look at all my comments and take the names from there. I sleep during the day, so me tracking down the names will just be me taking down a big list of them each evening. So that being said, make sure you're commenting on it. Share it with your friends. Even if they don't want the jacket, get them to like, retweet, and comment so you can get another chance at winning the jacket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But again, that'll be this episode of All Things Elite. Once again, thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to leave a rating and a review and keep downloading the show on Google or Apple Podcasts. And again, if you listen to us on any other podcasting platform, Spotify, Anchor, whatever it is, be sure to share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you may wish. You can also, if you guys enjoy the show so much, you can leave a donation through Red Circle. That would be massively generous of you. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. At Social Suplex is the podcasting network that helps make this show possible and has a bunch of other incredible shows that you should check out. I am at SZoomer4 on Twitter. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And now I will let my good buddy Floyd take us home for tonight.
After the last week, it's actually a very simple message. Make sure you hug and love your friends and family. You don't know how long they're going to be along. And even if they're going to be around forever, they still need to know that you care about them. I just, you know, as especially Takes a Funeral, remind you how short life is. So just make sure you're taking care of everybody, hugging them, loving them. If you got a grudge and you can find it in your heart to drop it, don't wait 10 years. Go ahead and do it now, because that's 10 years you get with someone that you love. So just remember that. And whether you're at home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.